Live from the greatest city and the greatest state and the greatest country on the second greatest planet in the solar system, it's episode number 182 of the award-winning Midday with Trey and BK. In today's first hour at 10:50, Lindsey Vonn spread her grandfather's ashes in South Korea where he fought in the war back in the day. Where would BK and I have our ashes spread given the choice? At 10:30, we talk Texas hoops, another big game tomorrow, a must win versus Oklahoma State at the Drum, plus Texas baseball with the big series this weekend. Rain, hopefully not impairing this, but at LSU. And in mere minutes, wow, college basketball just continues to find itself in the news for all the wrong reasons, and now a couple of Texas basketball players have been implicated. We will talk about what those ramifications might be for tomorrow and going forward. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is the Horns fantasy sports expert and one-time gigolo, Adam Wagner. What's up, Wags?
What's up, boys?
And the one you want to see of Gentiles here at the Horn. He's fluent in English and Australian, Brad Kellner.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
Was it Camptown Ladies as the pregame speech, or was it something else from Herb Brooks?
No yelling on the bus.
What's up, BK? How you doing today?
Dude, you sound awful.
I think I sound really good.
No, like, this might be our lowest rated show that we've ever had. Like, I feel like I want to turn your mic off and you're right across the hall. What happened? What happened to you?
I sound like a man.
No, you don't.
And I'm 40.
No, you don't. At all.
What happened is, 2 days ago, one of our great new producers who just started here this week, Dylan, was in...
Oh, you got to put him on blast, huh?
On Wednesday to watch how Texas basketball games are run, because he's going to be responsible for a Texas basketball game here in a few weeks.
Don't say a few weeks, because we're not sure they'll be playing.
Actually, I'm sorry. He's responsible for a Texas basketball game tomorrow, I believe.
Okay. I was going to say a few weeks. I don't know if that's guaranteed for this Texas basketball team. They could be done in 2 weeks.
You're right about that. I think they probably, well, maybe not 2 weeks, but maybe 3 weeks. We're probably not going to be talking Texas hoops anymore. But so it was on Wednesday that Texas played and lost at Kansas State. We talked and vented about that one yesterday. But he had to sit in with me during the 6 o'clock hour of the afternoon show because he had some questions, some things that I needed to help go over with him while I was actually on the board and could address some things that he was wondering about based on his Saturday shift. Well, I realized pretty immediately that he was wearing a cologne, a body spray.
Trying to impress you, huh?
Something along that. Just trying to smell decent. Why? I'm sure to most people it does smell okay.
We work in radio. Why do you need to smell decent? You don't see anybody of importance here.
Well, why do you shower?
To look good, baby.
All right, well, he just wants to smell good.
I guess. I don't put on cologne before I come in here, though. Like, maybe I wear cologne whenever I'm going out, right? I'm going out to see people in public, if I'm going to a restaurant, if I'm going to a bar, if I'm going to the movies. Yeah, you put on a couple of sprays of cologne, that's fine. But going to work?
Maybe he was...
Does he know what goes on in here? I mean, there's so much bacteria and germs and crap that cologne is just not even going to work.
Maybe there was something he was doing before coming in. Maybe he had plans to go out after the basketball game was over with. I don't know what the reason was why he was wearing the body spray. But what I do know is... There are certain elements of colognes and perfumes that I can smell pretty immediately, an ingredient that triggers an allergic reaction for me. And he sat in that studio with me for 45 minutes, and I was trying not to be rude by telling him, dude, I don't know what it is that you're wearing, but it's not agreeing with my sinuses. I need you to get out of the studio right now. Oh. So instead, I just dealt with
it. Wait, you didn't tell him to get out?
No.
Why?
Because, man, I'm trying not to be a jerk about it.
Dude, I feel like you have a good explanation. That's not being a jerk. You're like, man, that stuff's going to make me sick. Do you mind? Like, you can ask your questions from outside. I'm sorry to be rude, but you're going to have to leave. I got a job here. What do you mean?
I should have done that. In retrospect,
you're always a jerk to people. This is like easy for you, I feel like. Come on.
You have a point there. But I chose not to. So that coupled with all the rain that we've gotten and the colder weather that we've gotten these last few days.
Terrible.
I don't know what it has elevated in terms of mold or pollen or seed or whatever it is. I'm dealing with a little bit of an allergy right now. I feel fine. Okay. I just sound like crap.
I was going to say, you going to make it all 3 hours today?
I'm going to make it all 3 hours all unless my voice, well, there.
Jeez. Well, that happens when you're healthy. The voice crack happens when you're healthy.
Well, that
so
was
that's
part.
No
that's
sign.
Been that's been part of it this week, though, too, is I can feel my body fighting the allergies right now, just the seasonal issue that we deal with here in Austin. And so the fragrance just pushed things overboard.
What,
so
did he have cedar in his fragrance?
I don't know, man. I'm allergic to cats, too. There's a number of things that I'm allergic to, unfortunately. It includes cedar. It includes, there's a very popular type of grass here in Austin that I'm allergic to. Just allergies suck.
Tell this kid to stop wearing Axe body spray in here. He's too old to be wearing that.
But before the allergies really struck me yesterday, I was able to test my vertical jump at Onnit Gym.
Oh, nice.
And I just posted the video.
Oh, I haven't seen this yet.
I'm just going to warn you.
Oh, boy.
You know, you don't expect anything of me athletically. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I showed that I possess a little bit of athletic ability.
Where did you post this? You put it on your Twitter account?
At Courtesy Horn? Wave, yeah. I tagged the Horns.
This better not be one of your tweets of the week next week. All right, here we go.
You do the play-by-play?
He is off the ground. Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? Don't tell me you were trying your best there. You weren't trying your best here. That's impossible.
Dude, that's 17 That's 17 inches.
Wags, do you want to take over for Trey on today's show?
That's 17 inches, man.
Let me see. All right, he's off the ground. Dude, you don't even touch the bottom thing.
No, it grazes.
It
grazes the bottom panel. You can't see it in the video, but when we looked underneath, the bottom panel moved a little bit.
All right, I just retweeted it on the Horn. If you're not at a place, at a computer, on your phone where you can watch this, it's like the combine thing, right? The NFL scouting combine, NBA combine, whatever.
They've got the blades.
Yeah, they test your vertical leap. They've got the red and blue blades. And, you know, athletes hit somewhere near the middle or the top just about every time.
Yeah, guys that have like 40-inch verticals, man.
Trey Ellen.
I'm a normal human being here.
You're off the ground for less than half a second here. Like, you put it in slow-mo to maybe try to make yourself look better, but if this was full-mo, or Chris-mo, as LeVar Ball calls that dude on CNN, Chromo, like Google Chrome. If this was a full speed, dude, you wouldn't be in the air for more than half a second. I mean, this is terrible. I expected more from you.
That
honestly
is 17 inches, man.
I realize, like, you're not much of an athlete, I understand, and you claim that volleyball is a sport and whatever that makes you an athletic freak. But this is bad. Like, you're not getting anywhere close to the top of the net if we're talking volleyball.
Well, this is...
That's not 17 inches, dude. There's no way.
Yes, it is.
Maybe if you include your height plus the vertical leap, you're at 17 inches.
Because the camera was at a lower angle, it looks like I'm not jumping as high as I actually did. Well, I'm promising you this.
You're not jumping very high.
Well, 17 inches is something, though.
Wow.
I would say the average person probably jumps closer to 12.
12 inches, 1 foot. Man, that is... I know I can jump higher than that.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I mean...
You're welcome to come to Onnit, and we can test that out if you like.
I'm not going to a gym.
You don't have to work out. All you have to do is test your vertical.
That's still a gym. Like, I can go to a bookstore and not read a book. I'm still going to the damn bookstore. I'm not doing that, you know?
So this was done because transitioning into more vertical jump training at Onnit, and so that's the starting point for me. So expect in a month or two to see... to be even more impressed by the video that you see of me hitting the blades on the vertical jump.
Don't say
tester.
More impressed. You can take out the word more. Maybe in a couple months I'll be like slightly impressed. Because right now I'm not impressed at all. I can't be more impressed because I'm not impressed from this. This is bad. Not a good effort right there.
Wags, have you watched this yet?
Not yet. I'm going to take this phone call real quick to see what they're complaining about from you guys.
And of course. There's already something. Already something on the line. Well, that's bad, man. You got to do a better job than that. I'm sorry. I'm not even joking. Like, this isn't a bit right here. I legitimately expected you to have more athleticism, considering how much you talk about, how much of an athlete you are with your less than semi-pro volleyball career.
Trey, this is at courtesywave.com, correct? The video?
Not a website. It's his Twitter.
It's just at
Courtesy
Wave. Courtesy Wave.
I retweeted it from the Horn. So anybody who wants to watch it, if you follow the Horn, you realize Trey's tweets suck and you don't follow him. Just go to 104.9 The Horn and so, take care of that. I'm ripping you today, man. I'm ripping you for your lack of voice that you have. I mean, you sound like you're dying right here. You sound like you belong in a hospital bed with pneumonia or like the whooping cough or the black lung or something like that.
All it is allergies. I promise you, I feel fine right now.
You can't jump. We've learned you're not an athlete. You can't speak. You can't tweet. What can you do? Is there anything you're good at that the world should know? Because right now, this is a poor showing of humanism across the table.
I'm pretty good at giving rides to people that need a ride.
What, are you a rideshare guy now? You just started doing Uber and Lyft?
We talked about this earlier this week. I used to be the guy that friends would turn to help them move. I was always a willing mover. Because it's that forced brand of exercise that you appreciate.
That is nice of you to do that.
Yeah.
How much would I have to pay? I don't trust you to move my stuff. I'm going to get the real
movers. I would help you move. It's been a while for me. Hey, I'm in good shape, man. You just saw the video. I'm in good shape right now.
Oof. All right. Note to self. Don't make Trey raise his voice during today's show. My goodness, man. All right. Well, glad you're feeling okay.
Thank you.
Hopefully by Monday you're sounding better.
I may have to have you set this one up, but are you trying to tell me that college basketball teams and shoe companies would not pay me for my college basketball services?
Yeah, good setup right there. No, they wouldn't come close to paying you anything. Nobody would. But I guess this story, I talked about it a lot during the morning show. It broke at 4:33 a.m. Eastern time. That was when Yahoo Sports released this.
Is that right?
You want to talk about an overnight story. I mean, this is the type of stuff that Baylor would try to do to cover up its sexual assault cases with its football program. This is very random timing, but I guess they wanted to hit the morning crowd.
Yeah, Baylor would do it on Friday. They would just do it
Friday
at
6 o'clock.
Yeah, six
after
or
the
seven.
Radio shows were done. There were no live sports centers going on. You're right. So they wanted to hit the morning radio shows, the morning sports centers, whatever. And the bomb was dropped. The title, or the headline, if you will, from Yahoo Sports. This is Pat Forte and Pete Thamel, both friends of the show. Here's the title. Exclusive. Federal documents detail sweeping potential NCAA violations involving high-profile players, schools. So we've known for a while, right? We've heard a lot of rumors and rumblings, and we've even had reports from Yahoo Sports over the past couple of weeks saying that there's about to be a bomb dropped on college basketball. We have evidence of an FBI investigation looking into numerous athletes, high-profile athletes, high-profile college basketball coaches and high-profile college basketball programs. We've known for a while that, look, something's about to happen here. Something's about to be released that involves the payment of athletes to go play for certain college basketball programs. And now, with this most recent article that was dropped this morning, we have documents and bank records that were obtained in this federal investigation regarding a former NBA agent, Andy Miller, his former associate, Christian Dawkins, and his agency, ASM Sports. Now, these documents, these bank records include expense reports and balance sheets that list cash advances as well as entertainment and travel expenses for high school and college prospects and their families. This involves a years-long probe from federal authorities that they monitored multiple targets. They intercepted more than 4,000 calls across 330 days, and they're providing a clear-eyed view into the pervasive nature of the game's underground economy. That is the exact verbiage, the exact literature that comes from this article. Now, what makes this different than all the articles that we've seen over the past couple of weeks from Yahoo Sports? Now we have names.
Yep.
We have names of schools. We have names of current and former players. Hell, we have names of mothers of these current and former players who were reportedly receiving these benefits. We got names of coaches. We've got some names. And a lot of prominent names on this list.
What are the names of coaches? I think that's a list I haven't seen just yet.
The only names of coaches that I see on this list are Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo's name is mentioned specifically.
That's right.
And we've got something that says, quote, Villanova coaches, end quote. It doesn't specifically say Jay Wright or any of the names of the assistant coaches at Villanova.
I'm shocked Jay Wright
ends up on this list. It just says Villanova coaches is one of these one of the names mentioned. So,
and then the mom is mother of current Michigan State player Miles Bridges.
And Josh Jackson, current Phoenix Sun, former Kansas player. His mom is mentioned on the list too.
Okay.
So we've got mothers, we've got kids, we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Now, Texas is mentioned.
Yeah, can we start this very selfishly with the guys that were supposedly paid? Now, Prince Ibe ended up becoming a defensive player of the year in the Big 12 by the time his playing days were over with. But Eric Davis is on this list, really?
Eric Davis is mentioned as one of the players who received money from this ASM sports agency. He is listed at receiving $1,500, according to these documents.
$1,500.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what to make of that. I mean, what is that for? Because these players at this point get a $5,000 stipend every year.
He was a four-star recruit out of high school. I mean, this dude, you know, anytime you're a four-star recruit, you got at least prospects of potentially playing at the next level.
Yeah.
So these agencies will get out in front of it and try to sign you. And they'll pay you. They'll be like, hey, if you do go pro, you'll sign with us if we pay you X amount of dollars. Now, it happens very often where they will pay the money, and these players, when they do go pro, will sign with other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of ticks these agencies off a little bit, maybe kind of leading to some spilling the beans, if you will. But that's how it goes, right? If you're a high-profile recruit in high school hoops, and a lot of colleges want you, and you're a four- or five-star player, there's going to be agencies that are contacting your family and you, trying to pay you in return that you promise, if you do go pro to the NBA in a couple of years, that you will sign with their agency and give them your services and hire an agent from that company. So that's how this stuff works in accordance to this article.
Now, is Dennis Smith Jr. an Adidas guy? Current Dallas Maverick, he's one of the first names listed in this story.
I don't know if he signed a contract yet. Now, he played at NC State, which is an Adidas school, so
okay.
That's something to consider. Now, of course, all NBA jerseys are done with Nike nowadays for the first year. Until this year, it's been Adidas running the NBA. But Dennis Smith is one of the high-profile players on this list.
And that was more about the agency versus Adidas. And he did not end up signing with ASM. And they actually have on this list that they need to recoup the $43,500 from Dennis Smith Jr. for not signing with ASM.
Exactly. So here's a list of players who reportedly received at least $10,000 from ASM. Dennis Smith Jr. is one of them. Of course, he's now into the NBA. Isaiah Whitehead,
yep,
who is also in the NBA, played at Seton Hall. Tim Quarterman, former LSU player. Diamond Stone, one of the best names in recent college basketball.
God, Whitehead, Quarterman, and Stone. They really went for good names.
They went for it. Yeah, exactly. Diamond Stone played at Maryland. Bam Adebayo, who's in the NBA with the Miami Heat, played at Kentucky last season. And, of course, the number one pick from this year's NBA draft, Markel Fultz. All of those guys reportedly received at least $10,000, according to this. And in this article, and we'll tweet this out if you haven't seen it yet, but in this article, there's pictures. There's pictures of expense sheets and documents reporting, you know, it has the players' names or the coaches' names or the family members' names, and it has monetary amounts of how much money was reportedly going from the ASM sports agency over to these players or to the families. Now, look, this could be one of two things. This could be the very beginning of a huge bomb being dropped on college basketball, because this is just one agency, right? There are hundreds to thousands of agencies out there, and they could all be doing the same thing. And the FBI, we don't know yet, but they could have been also investigating other agencies and could have wiretaps or recorded phone call conversations or documentation from other agencies as well. That's one thing, and based off what we've heard, that could be pretty likely. But mm-hmm. on the other side, this could just be a one-time deal, which is still a problem, but I'm not sure. I mean, until I hear the wiretaps, there's going to be a part of me that's a little bit skeptical on this deal. Now, Aaron and I were disputing this in the morning show. Look, these expense sheets and these documents that ASM has turned over to the FBI, that has been enough to throw people in jail and get people in trouble over the years. But if a lot of it was transferred via cash, I'm not entirely sure how you can completely prove that 100%. That's the only little sliver of doubt that I have left in this deal. But, man, if this is the start of what's about to come in the NCAA, this could be an issue. And there's a lot of current players on this list. We mentioned Eric Davis, but look, whether or not Eric Davis plays these last three games for Texas or if the Longhorns make the NCAA tournament, that's not going to shape how this college basketball season goes. I don't think I'm breaking any news by you people telling you that Texas is not going to win the NCAA tournament this year.
I mean, it may help shape whether or not Texas makes it in.
Perhaps, yeah, these last three games, right?
Yeah.
You'd like to have Eric Davis. But there are some big-name current players on this list, including Miles Bridges at Michigan State, Colin Sexton at Alabama, and Wendell Carter Jr. at Duke. And Alabama's lock into the tournament. I don't see them as much of a threat to make a run. But Duke and Michigan State, those are two top-five teams. I mean, those are one or two seeds when we get to tournament time. And those are two of the best players on that team. So now the next question is, what's going to happen to these guys? Or does anything happen this year? Or does this all fully unravel once the offseason hits? Or maybe a couple of years down the road? I have no idea. That's the question.
I'm fascinated to see how this plays out, too. I think I tend to lean more with Aaron in terms of, look, this is the beginning of a paper trail. There's only going to be more from here. The fact that these documents were discovered in the offices that the FBI was raiding, that is going to go a long way in indicting these men who are under trial right now for corruption, but it's also going to have an effect on the kids who are listed here. It just is, and I'm sure they'll be able to get bank records eventually, but this is the this is the beginning of a paper trail that is hopefully going to tear college basketball down to where this whole process can be built back up again.
Yeah, and the NCAA president Mark Emmert, who I don't think anybody likes or trusts that guy, he released a statement this morning basically saying, oh, if this is true, we need to change everything. These are systematic failures that need to be fixed and fixed now if we want college sports in America. Basically saying that it's unacceptable. Well, you know, you were cool pants and players. This type of stuff wouldn't be going on. Or if you and the NBA could agree on a getting rid of the one-and-done rule, then you wouldn't have these type of issues. I mean, there's a reason that, you know, college baseball doesn't have stories like this ever happen, because they've got a system where, okay, you could go pro and make money out of high school. Or if you're not that good or just want to go to college, you got to stay for 3 years.
Yep.
This type of stuff doesn't happen. It does happen a little bit, but not as often in college baseball. That's why it's the cleanest sport. But with the one-and-done culture, with the AAU culture, with the shoe company culture that goes on, starting with these kids, hell, they're in grade school with some of these kids. And if they're like that highly touted or highly regarded, they get offered money and promises for certain things. It's a whole flawed system right now with basketball at all levels. And, yeah, maybe this will inspire some sort of change.
And we're talking to the guy today.
The guy. What are the odds, too, man, that this story breaks today? What a pull. Nice timing.
I'm glad it's working out this way. But he's not only responsible with the influence that shoe companies have at colleges, but also on the AAU circuit as well. He is who convinced Nike to initially pay college coaches to have their teams wear Nike at the time, and it started with Jerry Tarkanian, and then eventually it led to him at Adidas looking for high school kids and looking to sign high school kids out of high school, because at the time they could go pro, starting with Kobe Bryant. So his influence on this whole process is there, and so I'll be curious to not only get his opinion on the news that broke today, but also talk with him about how things went in the past and if there's something that he would do different, knowing that the wheels that he put into motion, how it ended up corrupting the process long term too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That'll come up at noon. But these documents that have been viewed by Yahoo show an underground recruiting operation that could create these rules issues with the NCAA for at least 20 Division I basketball programs and more than 25 players. That's what we have right now. And as we mentioned, that could be the tip of the iceberg. Now, worth noting, these colleges, they might have zero evidence. They might have zero knowledge of this happening, because this is not the colleges paying the players, right? These are agencies. I mean, Texas, the University of Texas could have had zero knowledge that Prince Ibe and or Eric Davis were getting paid by this agency. This is all communication between, you know, the players and their families, and the agencies. So we'll see what happens. But it is against NCAA rules to have a player who's getting any sort of impermissible benefits to play on your program. So that's the issue right now that the NCAA will have to face.
Whatever program is dealing with one of these kids right now is going to be smart to go ahead and suspend the kid indefinitely.
That's so crazy, man. That's just...
It is, but it's the only play that you have right now.
Seems that way, right?
Because there's evidence that they did something that's illegal that deems them ineligible. You have to, for the sake of whatever you want to make of this current season, you have to go down this road. You have to play the game in this regard now.
How about this? There's a Las Vegas prop bet that you can make whether or not the 2018 NCAA basketball championship will be vacated at some point. It's just a yes or no.
What are the odds
no.
right
it's
now?
It's just yes or no. I got to find it. One of my buddies texted it to me. I got to get that official link, that official source. But yeah, so more to come, we assume, with this type of story. This could be just the tip of the iceberg. I'm still a little bit skeptical of this, but man, if the FBI probe, if they have wiretaps, and if they've got recorded phone call conversations and legit evidence that money was being exchanged and trading hands, then this could be an issue for the NCAA and just college basketball, maybe even college sports as a whole.
So Sonny Vaccaro joins us at noon today. He is a former Nike and Adidas exec, really the godfather of the current landscape of pro hoops, college hoops, high school hoops, AAU hoops. And as BK said a little bit earlier, the timing could not be any better to speak with Sonny Vaccaro. We'll do that at noon. Coming up at 11:05, we'll talk with Tim Cato, covers the Dallas Mavericks, about this whole sexual harassment story that surfaced this week within that franchise and what happens from here. And more coming up, including Texas basketball. Big must-win game tomorrow versus Oklahoma State at the Drum. That's coming up next on Midday with Trey and BK on the Horn. Back here on the Midday Show, Specs text line is 337-3776. Look, I'm not appreciating some of the comments for my vertical jump video that I just released on Twitter, at Courtesy Wave or at The Horn ATX. You just retweeted it, pathetic.
It is pathetic, and the replies that people are sending your way on the Twitterverse are magnificent. I don't drop the M word very often. But they are magnificent. Kudos to you people out there for the job you're doing on the Twitterverse right now.
Teddy Couch says, and to think this guy is dunking on blitzers, SMH, emoji, laughing and while crying. Trash Talk Sports says, ladies and gentlemen, we are all witnesses to a real-life white man that literally cannot jump, might be able to squeeze a flat credit card under this man. It's 17 inches,
no, it's
people.
Not. There's no way.
Yes, it is.
No way.
See,
dude.
Aaron Hogan says impressive. He retweeted it.
That's sarcastic.
Impressive.
You know it is. Come on,
Chad,
that's not
Maxwell,
17 inches.
Buddy from Chicago says you are the stereotype.
Yeah, you are. I mean, white man can't jump should have been made about you. Like, if that was based on a true story, it would have been a biography of your ability to leave the ground, because it's not very good.
Sportscaster says, in Courtesy Wave's defense, those vertical sticks had Axe body spray on them. Keep them coming, people.
The GIF GIFs that are being replied to. We'll put that on Facebook as well if you haven't seen it. We'll do that during the next commercial break. But good stuff, my man Trey, trying to show people that he can jump. But hey, he's
at
the gym.
17 inches.
God dang, dude.
Your
voice.
Man.
Also dealing with some allergies from some Axe body spray that was sprayed in the studio a couple of days ago. So my man Trey is running on fumes right now. And I assume based off your vertical leap, you're not running very fast as well. All right,
17 inches.
Sorry about nice. You, brother. All right, hey, we got sports. It's a big weekend going on and around the 40 acres involving Texas athletics. We'll start with the basketball. We'll get to the baseball. Of course, a big series for the Longhorns on the diamond going to LSU this weekend, starting the night, weather permitting, of course, with that deal. But Texas basketball, the men's team, big home game tomorrow. Look, it's as damn close as a must-win as you can possibly get. Now, I won't call it a must-win game. I'm not going to call it a must-win game, because if Oklahoma State comes into Austin tomorrow and beats Texas, that's going to be bad, yes. But, hey, Texas could still beat Kansas, and they could
Come
beat
on,
West
man.
Virginia. I'm just saying it can't happen.
It's a must-win game because that other scenario is not going to happen.
Exactly. But you're not banking on winning a game at Allen Fieldhouse, which, by the way, is KU senior night for Devontae Graham and Sfi Mikhailiuk. I'm not too sure you can bank on that. And then, of course, hey, Texas senior night next Saturday, home against West Virginia. But that's a Mountaineers team that beat you by 35 a couple of weeks ago up in Morgantown. So, look, Wednesday felt pretty damn close to a must-win game. Tomorrow is basically 99.9% must-win for the Longhorns. Hosting Oklahoma State, a 1 o'clock tip. It'll be right here on the Horn on LHN, of course, if you're looking on the television side. Both of these teams come into this game with identical records. They're 16-12 on the year, and both are 6-9 in conference play. Now, Texas, more of an impressive non-conference resume, so any Okie Light or Okie State fans out there, looking for Oklahoma State on the bubble. They're one of those teams that probably needs to win the conference tournament.
Just to be on
the
bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not even on the bubble in some projections right now.
But Oklahoma State, of course, they beat Texas in Stillwater a couple of weeks ago. That was a game that Texas completely choked. The Longhorns were up by 12 with 5 minutes to go, and Oklahoma State ended the game on a 15-2 run to beat Texas. That one hurt a lot. For the Longhorns. But Oklahoma State is having a very interesting year. They've got a first-year head coach in Mike Boynton, and you talk about Texas having a lottery pick in Mo Bamba and maybe not a whole lot else. Look, Oklahoma State, not only do they not have a lottery pick on their team, I'm not sure they have an NBA player on their team. Huh. I mean, they have some decently talented college players. You know, Jeffrey Carroll's had a great career up there. They've got some guys. Kendall Smith has been good. Tavarius Shine. They've got some players who are putting up decent numbers. But in terms of dudes who are getting drafted at all at the next level, maybe outside of Jeffrey Carroll, I'm not sure Oklahoma State has anybody. So talent-wise, there's not a whole lot there. No. I've been very impressed with the coaching job that Mike Boynton has done in year one after Brad Underwood got up and left for that Illinois job. And what's very impressive about Oklahoma State's resume, they've beaten some damn good teams this year.
Yeah.
They have won at Kansas, at West Virginia, and they just knocked off Texas Tech a couple of days
ago. At home.
They also beat Oklahoma back when Oklahoma was really good. Like, this was not on the 8 of 10 downfall for OU. This was like when Oklahoma was ranked number 4 in the country and people still thought they were pretty damn good. So, Oklahoma State, you can't take them lightly. It looks like some of these other teams in this conference has, and they've been beat because of it. Now, of course, if you're Texas, you can't take anybody lightly at this point of the year.
And Oklahoma State has been taken lightly because they've also lost to some bad teams as well, too. Their RPI right now is 96. Look, if you're not a team that's getting into the 60s or 50s, you're likely not getting an at-large bid. So Oklahoma State has a lot of work to do. They pretty much have to win out to be considered in the tournament right now. Games at Texas, of course, tomorrow at Iowa State, and then finishing at home, Senior Day versus Kansas. So it's possible for them, considering that they have beat at least two of those three teams, and this Iowa State team looks to be limping into the finish line here in the Big 12. So it is still possible for them, but still a little bit far-fetched right now, and Texas has to capitalize tomorrow. Whether or not they have Eric Davis, whether or not Mo Bamba is at 100%, which he's not going to be at 100%. He's going to be dealing with a toe issue probably for the rest of the season. Texas still has to win this game tomorrow. They've been much better, like most teams are, taking care of business at home. That needs to happen tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Irwin Center.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A must-win game for Texas. And once again, they had a 12-point lead late in that contest against Oklahoma State. Less than 6 minutes to go, and the Pokes went on a 13-0 run. Closed the game out on what was a 15-2 run to get that win. And a big problem for Texas in that first matchup with the Cowboys, turnovers. 15 turnovers for the Longhorns this year. Now, look, Texas offensively, they haven't done a whole lot right all year. We ran down the stats and the rankings amongst the Big 12 conference this year. I mean, Texas ranks last in points per game and assist and assist to turnover ratio and three-pointers made. I mean, just about every offensive statistical category, the Longhorns ranked 9th or 10th in this 10-team league. But one thing Texas generally doesn't do is turn the ball over offensively. They just don't do anything, maybe because they don't pass the ball ever and stand around. But 15 turnovers in that first matchup, they were crucial in that 13-0 Oklahoma State run that let the Cowboys back into the game. You got to protect the ball. You got to find a way to get Mo Bamba involved early and often. And look, this is a winnable game for Texas. They'll be favored in this contest. You're playing a team that is worse than you on your home floor. With all that's on the line for the Longhorns, there's no excuse. You got to get this W.
How about this odd stack for the Cowboys this season? They're 0-8 in Big 12 midweek games, but 6-1 on Saturdays.
Uh-oh.
So clearly Texas lost the first time on a Saturday, January 13th. Tomorrow's a Saturday. So
what a find.
Look, that's just one stat for you, and of course it has an easy way of changing, but Oklahoma State really bad in midweek games before the Texas Tech game this week. So they're now 1-8 in Big 12 midweek games.
What, are they
and
like playing hungover on Saturdays? Or are they just like better, they go out on Fridays to Eskimo Joe's or to Murphy's or something, and then they just wake up and play well on Saturday?
Yeah, so 1-8 now after that Texas Tech win. That was their first win all year in midweek games.
And yeah, I mean, these two teams, I don't want to say trending in opposite directions because Oklahoma State has lost two of its last three games, but their midweek game, as you just mentioned, they upset Texas Tech, who's ranked number 6 in the country a couple of days ago, while the Longhorns are coming off just a lackluster, lethargic, awful performance up in Manhattan, Kansas.
And Oklahoma State, for the most part this year, has not been a good second-half team. They changed that trend versus Texas Tech as well. They went on a 14-0 run in the second half. They went 9 of 9 to start the second half, including 6 3-pointers. Also not a great three-point shooting team. They found a way to reverse some trends that have been going against them all season long. And so you imagine that will not remain the case when they come into Austin tomorrow.
And I'll give you some hope. As a Texas basketball fan, if your goal was to make the NCAA tournament. We talked about it yesterday. Joe Lenardi's most current bracketology, Jerry Palm of CBS, their most current bracketology, has Texas on the outside looking in, one of the first four teams out. By the way, we'll talk to Joe Lenardi on Tuesday. There's a website that I'm very fond of. It's called bracketmatrix.com, and they rank the success of all the bracketologists over the years.
Ooh.
So if you're there's tons of these, right? Everybody talks about Joe Lunardi and Jerry Palm because it's ESPN and CBS. But all of these jabronis across the country, across the world, release brackets. And the bracket that's been the highest rated on average score over the last 3 years has been this website called Bracketville. It's a WordPress site. That's how you know it's legit. Bracketville.wordpress.com. And the guy who makes the bracket for this website that has been the most successful, and the way they measure this is they compare your seeding in your bracket versus the actual seeding that the NCAA tournament committee releases on Selection Sunday. So they compare your final bracketology to what actually happens, and you're graded based off your accuracy there. This website, Bracketville, in its most recent bracketology that was updated this morning, still has Texas as one of its final four teams into the dance.
How about that?
It's one of the last four, right? They'd be playing in one of these play-in games. So there is somebody out there who still thinks, as of right now, the Longhorns are in the dance. But, of course, three games left to go. You have to win this one tomorrow at home against Oklahoma State. You're probably going to have to steal one either at Kansas or home against West Virginia to wrap up the season, unless you go on a pretty big run come Big 12 tournament time. So there you go. 1 o'clock tomorrow.
The Fieldhouse releases its bracket watch on Fridays as well. Right now they have Texas as a team that needs to get some work done. They said the Oklahoma win last Saturday was considered a nice one, but following that up with 41 points and 61 possessions and a 10-point loss at Kansas State kept the Longhorns from moving into anything close to safety along the bubble cut line and hopefully resulted in full refunds for every paying customer in attendance.
Oh, man, that game was terrible to watch.
It was awful.
48 points in 40 minutes in your most important game of the season. You got to hope. Look, tomorrow is now the most important game of the season. You got to move on. You got to move on if you're Texas, and it might be tough with all the traveling issues that they had getting iced in Manhattan for a couple of days, but you just got to put that game behind you and focus on tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
I imagine that we hear at some point today Texas comes out and makes some sort of statement one way or another about Eric Davis. He is a current member on this basketball team. Do you think that they'll come out and suspend Eric Davis at least for the next game, if not indefinitely, based on the story that broke today?
You know, Texas does a good job of getting out in front of these type of things. And this is, of course, the NCAA, the story from Yahoo Sports regarding the agency ASM Sports that has a paper trail of paying players. And Eric Davis is on the list. If you're just joining the program, there's that. Yes, I do. I honestly think, I don't know if Texas will release a statement, honestly. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you just see Eric Davis in a tracksuit tomorrow sitting on the bench, which hurts. He doesn't start for this team, but he's your sixth man. He plays significant minutes, and he keeps Jacob Young off the floor. All important things. Now, Eric Davis has been very inconsistent as a player on the 40 acres, and he was awful against Kansas State on Wednesday, but he's a guy with some leadership, a guy you'd like to have on the floor against Oklahoma State. So, honestly, if I had to predict it, I don't expect to see him tomorrow. Whether or not we see a statement released, I'm not sure. I would guess Eric Davis does not play.
So based on that, because Mo Bamba clearly needs a little bit of time off of his feet to rest that sore toe, considering the caliber of competition that they're facing next week, do you risk sitting him and losing this game, or do you need Mo Bamba just to beat Oklahoma State tomorrow?
You got to have Mo Bamba out there.
Even at 60% or whatever it was that he was in Manhattan a couple nights ago?
Well, you'll see how effective he is.
Okay.
I mean, you'll throw him out there to start unless he can't go, doctors don't clear him, whatever. But you'll throw him out there. Now, if he's clearly hobbling and is a liability for you, you got to take him out and play Jericho Sims a little bit more. But no, he's your best player. I mean, he's your most important guy on both ends of the floor, and this is a must-win game. So if he's able to go, even 80% Mo Bamba is better than some of the other options you have. You got to play him.
All right.
You got to play him.
We'll see.
All right, Texas baseball this weekend. A big three-game series going up against LSU. The first time the Horns have played at Box Stadium in Baton Rouge since 1999. First time these two teams have met. You know, cover your ears if you're a Texas baseball fan. Since the 2009 College World Series final in Omaha, LSU unfortunately got that series win in three games. But these two teams will meet a three-game series tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon. Texas at LSU, the Longhorns 3-1 on the year. Of course, taking 2 of 3 from Louisiana Lafayette last weekend, winning their midweek game against Lamar University. It'll be the same pitching rotation the Horns used last weekend. It'll be Nolan Kingham, the ace, who was named National Pitcher of the Year by a couple of publications this past week for his 8-inning shutout performance last Friday. It'll be Kingham, Chase Shugart, and Blair Henley, the three pitchers the Longhorns will use. LSU, on the other hand, 2-2 on the season. Pitching has been an issue for the Tigers so far. They dropped 2 of 3 at home to Notre Dame to open up their season. And in that series, they gave up 27 runs in three games. Very un-LSU-like for Palminteri and company. And then on Wednesday, they played New Orleans, which should have been a very easy midweek victory. Now, the final score was 14-6. LSU got the win. But New Orleans was up 4-0. So starting pitching has been a problem in a small sample size of four games for LSU. Big opportunity for the Longhorns in what's going to be a hostile environment, but to maybe go win a road series early on in the season.
Starting pitching and defense has been a big strength for Texas early on, has had situational hitting and taking advantage of the other team's miscues as well. We saw that in the midweek game this week, so hopefully they can continue those trends this weekend in Baton Rouge. Should be a fun series to watch from the sidelines. I'm disappointed that you don't get to go to those games. I know that you had plans to do so, but your ride backed out, so therefore you were considering the trip to Lubbock for Texas Tech and Kansas, which happens tomorrow, but now that one's in jeopardy as well because of the weather.
Can't see anything out there, man. I really want to go, but I can't drive in this.
No, it's horror movie fog outside right now.
Jeez, man. We'll see. I got a couple hours for it to clear up, man. As long as I get out of Austin and it's fine outside of Austin, we're fine.
Yeah.
We'll see how this goes. But yeah, the game tonight in Baton Rouge, I'm looking at the forecast right now, only 15% chance. Now, I think it's raining right now, and it's supposed to rain throughout the afternoon a little bit. But once we get closer to game time, it looks like the rain is supposed to shy away. So the Horns could get all three of these games in as scheduled, which, of course, would be nice. I know a lot of Longhorn fans making the trip out there.
Yeah, especially because of that. You hope that they find a way to play all three games, even if it means a doubleheader tomorrow.
Yes, and your girl, Mary Lou. That's the girl, Mary Lou. Remember you made up her name last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the one who bailed
Send
me the Tiff Streets for showing the spray tan video to all of her friends.
I feel like boyfriend was like, wait, you're going...
Oh, come on,
you're
man.
Making a road trip with that dude?
I'm not a threat.
Who's got a reputation?
I'm not a threat.
I know you're not a threat, but that doesn't mean boyfriend doesn't think you're a threat.
True. Well, thanks for saying I'm not a threat. Come on, man. I got game. You saying I ain't got no game?
I know you got game, but you're not a threat to me.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm not gonna hook up with you or your wife.
Not even with this sultry voice that you're hearing right now?
It's gross. We're taking a break so you can rest that thing for a little bit. Hey, when we come back, an interesting debate. By the way, in College Hoops last night, two stories I have to mention on the other side. And Lindsey Vonn, placed the ashes?
Scattered
the ashes of her late grandfather in the downhill slopes of Pyeongchang. We'll tell you that story and kind of debate. If you could be cremated and your ashes spread anywhere, where would you pick? Maybe a touchy subject. We don't care. Coming up at the top of the hour, Tim Cato of SB Nation will join the show to talk about this Dallas Mavericks situation. He covers the Mavs. We'll talk about the tanking comments and, of course, the Sports Illustrated bomb being dropped on the culture within the Mavs organization. That's coming up at the top of the hour. We are taking a break. When we come back, I just told you, it's Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.
Back here on the Midday Show, one more segment before the top of the hour. Tim Cato joins us after 11 to talk about the Dallas Mavericks, the direction that they head now after the sexual harassment story and some other things came to light this week, as well as what Mark Cuban actually knew and if there will be any more ramifications that he faces from the league because of this.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Should be an interesting conversation with Tim. He's in the know with what's going on there. Hey, before we get to this Lindsey Vonn story, I do want to mention, yesterday we found out from one of our listeners that we don't deserve Shaka Smart and all the success that Texas basketball has had during his tenure.
Yeah.
We are not worthy of the 16-12 season that's going on this year or the 11-win season last year. And look, I'll say it again, even though it should be stating the obvious here, but I hope my prediction with Shaka Smart is incorrect. I hope he is able to right the ship. I think he's going to get a fourth year here at Texas, and I hope this team makes the tournament and Shaka's the head coach for a long time at the University of Texas. But part of my job is to report on what I see and give predictions with what I see, and I just, with what I've seen from the first 3 years, I don't see that. Yesterday, we found out that we don't deserve Shaka Smart. Well, last night, and I tell you guys, look, Shaka Smart has signed 12 players during his Texas tenure. So if you use that as an excuse for why this team isn't winning games, that there's just not enough talent or this team doesn't have shooters or there's not enough ball handlers or whatever, Shaka Smart, this coaching staff, has signed a full roster. One of the guys they missed out on, they chose not to offer, was a kid named Carson Edwards, who plays his college basketball at Purdue University. Purdue, a top 10 team in the country. Last night, Mr. Carson Edwards, a sophomore from Humble, is it Humble or Humble? Humble Atascocita High School here in the great state put up 40 points in a game in a win at Illinois yesterday. He is leading the ninth-ranked Boilermakers, averaging 18 points a game, also 4 boards and 3 assists as a 6'1 sophomore. That's the most points for a game for Purdue since Glenn Robinson back when they played Kansas in the tournament in 1994, the year I was born. So Carson Edwards, perhaps good enough to be the Big Ten Player of the Year in college basketball this year, not good enough to get offered by this current regime at Texas.
And I feel like that's part of the problem with this current Texas basketball situation is it's not about evaluating the top-tier guys. It's about evaluating those guys who are on the next levels, the guys who you really do have to develop to turn them into instrumental parts of the program. They've just missed far too many times on those types of guys, the guys who are not one or two and done types players.
Right. The issue is not the Mo Bamas or the Matt Colemans. The guys who are 4 or 5 star recruits, the Jared Allens. I mean, those are money guys. You got to take those deals, but you also have to fill your rosters with some 3 and 4 star players. And Texas has missed a couple of good ones over the past couple of years that have been in their own backyard in this state.
And not just that, but also not developing especially guards and wing players. They've done a pretty decent job with post players. You even saw it with Prince Ibe their first year that they came in here. He was a shell of himself all the way until his senior year when this staff got its hands on him and turned him into the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. I think you're seeing that a little bit with Jericho Sims right now. He looked much better on Wednesday. I hope he gets more minutes on Saturday than the 15 he received in Manhattan. I think that you're seeing signs of him developing as well. Even Mo Bamba this year, going back to last season with Jarrett Allen as well, but specifically the guards and wing players, which are so important at this level because there are so few true big guys in college basketball, especially guys that stick around for a couple of years.
Yeah, there you go. So don't want to just trying to help you guys out, giving you some conversation for your weekend. Texas, Oklahoma State tomorrow, 1 o'clock, right here on the Horn.
All right, real quick before we get to the break here, BK, Lindsey Vonn did something during her participation in this year's Winter Olympics that I think is pretty cool. She dedicated her performance this year to her late grandfather Don Kildo.
Ooh.
Yes.
She didn't do very well in the Olympics. She must not like her grandfather that
much. She got a bronze medal.
That's true.
She's one of the older competitors.
That's true.
As well.
She's had a great career. I don't mean to rip Lindsey Vonn, but I thought
she'd
do better.
Man.
What? I thought she'd do better.
Kildo died in November at the age of 88, and he actually served in the Korean War with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. He was stationed close to where Vonn competed over the past couple of weeks, and she had initially hoped that her visit to South Korea as a competitor would mean that he would get to go back over there for the first time. Well, he died back in November, so instead, she decided to bring some of his ashes with her to South Korea and actually spread them on a rock and also on a mountainside near where she competed because he had fond memories from those places.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool of Lindsey Vonn for doing so. Her granddad was instrumental in her starting skiing to begin with. He had built a 150-foot hill in an old cow pasture that she literally started skiing on the first time she ever skied in her life when she was a child.
Wow.
And they were also, her grandfather and grandmother are some of her biggest fans as well. So it was a very special thing for her. My question for you, though, is if you had to make a decision on one, to be buried in the ground so that you could become worm food, or to get burned up into ashes, which would you prefer? But also, if you chose the latter, where you would have your ashes spread?
Boy, interesting right there. Yes, that is a nice gesture from Lindsey Vonn. Very cool. Very cool to see your grandfather. Clearly had a significant impact on her life. Boy, I don't know. I haven't thought about that too much. I think the burial is the standard Jewish method of dying.
But you're not a standard Jew.
I'm not. What does that mean?
It means that you eat pork. It means that
I feel like nowadays that's pretty standard. You
sin belligerently.
Yeah, okay. It's hard to deny either of those things. We'll let you stop right there. Go ahead. That's enough of that deal. If Moses is listening, we got to be careful.
You
hook
up with a lot of Gentiles.
Stop. That's enough. Okay.
I think you prefer Gentiles, as a matter of fact. Sorry,
so if I could, where would I choose?
Yeah.
Boy, I haven't thought about something like that before. Let's see. DKR, man. Put me at DKR. 50-yard line underneath.
All right.
Or, I don't know, one of a sports stadium. summer that I spent. Like, I probably spent more time in terms of sports venues at Globe Life Park, what it's called nowadays.
A little bit of DKR, sprinkle some at Globe Life.
Yeah, a little bit at the old Texas Stadium.
I like that.
They haven't won anything at Jerry World yet, so I don't know if I want that. I don't know, man. Some sporting event. That's some sporting venue. That's where I've spent most of my time.
How about you, Wags? Any place that you would prefer to have your ashes spread?
Maybe somewhere in Maryland. I don't know. Definitely not in Iraq or Afghanistan where I fought. That's for sure.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah, we're glad to have you over here.
I think American soil deserves my ashes.
All right,
nice.
I like that one.
Yeah, I'd say you're worthy of American soil.
Thanks,
what you've
guys.
Done for this country.
Thank you.
What about you? You got one?
So clearly,
put the ashes under your vertical leap. Although I'm not sure your leap was high enough to put like a full human body's worth of ashes in between the space between your feet and the ground.
You'd be surprised with how many ashes come from the human body. Just having dealt with ashes before,
I haven't thought about that. Oh, this is a weird text my mom just sent me. She said, "Dirty Sixth." 6th Street.
Well done,
Shoshana. Probably right. I always talk about like wanting a statue on 6th Street, so maybe I can get the ashes buried there too.
Well, speaking of Dirty Six, drink up, because some of my ashes would end up at North Avenue Beach in Chicago, where I loved to play volleyball for so many years. Really rekindled my passion for the sport of sand volleyball. But I would also have some of my ashes sprinkled onto the playing surface of the Cotton Bowl during Texas OU. Yes, I would figure out a way to get somebody down onto the field where they could sprinkle them on the field and maybe the end zone on the Texas side. Keep my ashes away from the Oklahoma side of
right.
that stadium,
of course.
Please. And then one other thing I would request be done with my ashes is that they would be secretly turned into a tea that then would be passed out amongst everybody here at the Austin Radio Network. That way, everybody would drink some tea in honor of me, and then without knowing it, you would end up with a little bit of me inside of you for the rest of your life.
Dude, would we be pissing excellence from there on out?
Dude, that is messed up, man. You're already cursing us during this life. You're trying to curse us from the afterlife, too. Well, I sure as hell hope I'm out of the Austin Radio Network by the time you're dead. I could tell you that. Oh, my gosh. That's bad. I'm not drinking you. Nobody's drinking you. It's gross.
You don't want to consume me?
No, nobody does.
Come on. You know I'm tasty.
Wow, well done. Good thoughts. Way to come up with that one right there. I have nothing else to say. We'll take a break. We need one. We need one. Coming up next, our man Tim Cato of SB Nation. He covers the Dallas Mavericks. He will join the program to talk about all the happenings with the Dallas Mavericks, including well, the fine issue to Mark Cuban in regards to his tanking comments, but of course, more importantly, the organizational problem. If you missed the story a couple of days ago, maybe you've been living under a rock. I don't know what else at this point, but the Mavs culture within its organization, with its employees, has been compared to Animal House. Issues of misogyny and sexual assault and domestic violence and harassment. All of that's been going on for years within the Mavs organization, according to a Sports Illustrated story that came out a couple of days ago. We will talk to Tim Cato about the ramifications and what it means for Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks coming up next. Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.